Hello and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies with your speaker, Chris McCann. If you'd like more information or to hear more studies, visit our website at www.ebiblefellowship.com. And now with your evening Bible study, here's Chris McCann.
Good evening and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible Study in the Book of Revelation. Tonight is study number 36 of Revelation chapter 9. And we'll be reading verses 20 and 21. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. And I'll stop reading there. And we've been continuing looking at Revelation chapter 9, verse by verse. We've come to the end of our chapter at this time. These are the last two verses of Revelation 9. And we saw in our last study that the phrase, "the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues," was a reference to all of the unsaved people of the world. This statement is following the two statements that are found earlier in these verses, that the four messengers were loosed to slay the third part of men. The 200 million were given the task to also kill the third part of men by the fire, by the smoke, and by the brimstone. And then in that context, the rest of the men were not killed by these plagues, by the judgment of God upon those in the churches and congregations, which are typified by the third part. They were killed, spiritually speaking, on May 21, 2011. It sealed their fate once God shut the door of heaven for all the world, for all mankind. Never again would anyone become saved. All in the churches were slain by that act of God because they were in the churches during the latter rain period, and there was no latter rain falling in the church. And that means they could not possibly have been saved during the period of the latter rain because they were not in a position to be blessed by it. And God has emphatically made the point that no one was being saved in any church in the world during the 23-year Great Tribulation period when judgment began at the house of God. And that means that as these poor people in the churches entered into the day of judgment, they were not saved during the time when God was saving a great multitude, and now they cannot be saved. And so that sealed their fate, as I mentioned earlier. It killed them. But the rest of the men were not killed by these plagues. No, the rest would be the 5 billion or so outside of the churches. No matter what they were, Buddhist or Muslim or Shinto or whatever religion other than the Christian religion, God was judging the churches. He was not judging the false religions of the world. During the Great Tribulation, it was a judgment at the house of God, those that professed to be his people. It was not a judgment on Buddhists or Hindus. And this means that they are a part of the world. They are part of the rest of the men. They were therefore in a position where potentially God could have saved them as he sent forth the message of the latter rain. God commanded his people to depart out of the midst of the church in order to experience the latter rain. You cannot be saved in the congregations. But there was no such command for individuals of other religions, which means they could have been a part of their religion and heard the gospel message somehow over the radio, on a billboard, through a track, and God could have saved them even as they were a part of that false religion. And they are a part of the rest of the men, atheists, agnostics, secularists, people who just want nothing to do with the whole topic of God whatsoever, are a part of the rest of the men. Every unsaved individual in the world is a part of the rest of the men not killed by these plagues on the third part. Now, we looked at a couple of places where God uses the plague, or uses the word plagues, and the word plagues is Strong's number 4127 in the Greek. It's, we would pronounce it plague, very, very close to our English pronunciation of plague. And it is that word in Revelation 22:18, where God warned, if anyone adds unto the words of this book, he will add unto him the plagues that are written herein. The plagues are written, they're recorded in the Bible, and we discussed that, how the opening of the scriptures also brought forth plagues upon the church, because it brought forth information concerning the end of the church age, and that biblical information plagued every congregation in the world. And now God is bringing forth scripture, bringing forth truth from his word concerning the characteristics of the world today. And he is plaguing the gospel water of the world. He has dried it up, turned it to blood, and so forth. And so we did look at that. But now I want to look at a place where this same Greek word plague is used. And it's used in a very interesting way in the Gospel of Luke. In Luke chapter 12, and I'm going to read a few verses here, beginning in verse 45. It says, "But and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink, and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required, and to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." And here the Lord is laying down a biblical principle that those that know their master's will, their Lord's will, they are more accountable to their Lord than those that did not know their master's will. And of course, this relates entirely to professed Christians, to those that say they are of Christ. They have a relationship with God through Christ. They are Christian. They know the Bible. They are members of a church. They have salvation, they claim. And, all right, they make all of these claims and statements and professions, and they know their Lord's will. But then when the Lord reveals to them the judgment of God is upon you, the judgment begins at the house of God, you must depart out and flee the congregation, they ignore it. They dismiss it. They do anything but obey it. And likewise, when God graciously opens up information concerning the day of judgment, you have until this point to get right with the Lord, to seek him while he may be found, because on May 21, 2011, he'll no longer be able to be found. He will shut the door of heaven. Oh, they dismissed that. No man knows the day or hour, and so on. And we don't have to get into this. We know that there is a great many professed Christians that are only Christian in name. They have a name that they live, that is the name of Christ, and yet they are dead in sin. And so because they're dead in sin, their sins are upon them. They have never truly been born again, never truly had their sins purged and paid for. And therefore, when judgment day comes, God establishes a biblical principle. And let me repeat it again here in Luke 12:47. That servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will. And certainly we can say that of all those within the churches, that they have failed to prepare. They have failed to do the will of the Father. Well, then God says that those who are in this case shall be beaten with many stripes. Now, the word stripes here is italicized. It just says beaten with many. It's not until the next verse that the word stripes is actually found in verse 48. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. And then again, stripes is italicized, but where it says, he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes, that word is in the text. That is plague. That is the word translated as plagues most often, and that we saw in Revelation 22:18, that we have in Revelation 9:20. And here God is saying the one that knows his Lord's will be beaten with many stripes or plagues. The one that knows not the Lord's will but did commit things worthy of stripes, worthy of plagues, shall be beaten with few plagues. And it's implied, that's why the translators added the word. It's a carryover from the actual word that is used there. And so God is establishing the principle that there is more punishment for the professed Christian than there is for the typical unsaved individual of the world. No matter who that person is or whatever religion, no matter if they deny God, if they curse God, if they care nothing about God, the one who was a member of the Presbyterian Church, the Reformed Church, the church that claims to be of the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet, as it says here, they did not prepare, they did not do the will of God, they will be punished more severely than those rest of people, the rest of the men, the rest of mankind. And that's exactly what we find in Revelation 9. The rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues. Now, these plagues were given to the third part of men, and the third part of men were afflicted by them, smitten by them. And the third part of men, by the way, they did not actually die on May 21. They died spiritually, but they continue to live, continue to be plagued like everyone else. But the rest of the men are not smitten by those particular plagues. They continue on. And we can see a difference, a distinction in the meeting out of the stripes, a difference, a big distinction in the administering of the wrath of God. The plague is greater for the third part here than it is for the rest of the men. And that fits perfectly with what the Bible tells us, that God intends to punish those that are profess Christian more than any others. All right, let's go on in Revelation 9:20. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. So the rest of the men who have entered into the day of judgment, just like the third part, but they were not killed by what killed the third part, yet it doesn't help them at all. They do not repent. They continue on in their rebellious ways. And here we see that they continue on in idolatry. We read in Acts 7, a little similar language, beginning in verse 40, saying unto Aaron, make us gods to go before us. For as for this Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And they made a calf in those days, and offered a sacrifice unto the idol, and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets, O ye house of Israel, have ye offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness, and so forth. Now this is speaking of Israel, but it is also illustrating for us that at a time when God was testing Israel by having Moses be up in the mount for 40 days to receive the law of God, that they failed the test and they made something that was the work of their own hands. They made an idol. And as a result, God gave them up. And of course, mankind has done this in our day. They have set up numerous idols to worship. And some are actual idols in some religions. But most idols are idols that are designed and developed and carved in the minds of men. Idols made out of lusts and sinful desires. And these idols are everywhere today, as the unsaved people of the earth have been given up to them. Now remember what God says in Romans chapter 1. And Romans 1 is a passage that relates to our day, to the time at the end, the time of judgment. We read in Romans 1 verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient. being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And this is a description of our world. It is a description of our modern society. God has given man up, man who changed the truth of God into a lie and would rather worship and serve a creature than the Creator. Well, for this cause, the Bible says, God gave them up to vile affections. And all the things we read here are in tremendous evidence today in our society, in the world society. The ugliness of sin has just magnified to such a tremendous degree that it is everywhere. And since it is everywhere, it is a very obvious and evident picture of the fact that God has given mankind up to their sin. In the day of judgment, He has turned them over. And notice that it said there that one of the sins of men is that they are covenant breakers. Now, when we went through the study of Isaiah 24, we came upon that kind of statement in Isaiah 24 in verse 5, where it says, "The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant." Now, we don't think of this too often. We're more familiar with the church and the church's relationship with God and His Word. And we understand that the church is obligated to keep that law of God, and God did find fault with those in the churches when they did not, and that's why He judged them due to their unfaithfulness. But the people of the world, the typical sinner who knows nothing of the gospel, nothing of the Bible, doesn't want to know anything about it, those people are not immune. They're not as though they have no relationship to the law of God, as though the law of God really has nothing it can say or hold them with. That's not true. The case is that every human being, according to the Bible, is married to the law of God. And God has written His law upon the hearts of all men. All men have a duty and a responsibility and an obligation to obey the law of God, to obey the one they are married to in that spiritual marriage. But of course, we all sin and fall short of God's glory, and we offend. And that's why God speaks of mankind as covenant breakers. They have broken His law. They have transgressed. And it's also why He speaks of mankind as adulterers and adulteresses. Those that are in a marriage relationship with His law, but have gone and committed adultery, spiritual adultery, with their sinful practices and activities. And so, yes, God fully expects every human being to repent. God fully demands and commands that every human being repent of these sins, these transgressions of his law. They are not immune. They cannot sin without consequence. No, God says that they are obligated and responsible to obey. And that's why he says in Revelation 9:20 that the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands. They did not repent. Should they have repented? Why, yes. This is Judgment Day, a time when God is pouring out his fierce wrath. He is demonstrating his anger, and he has destroyed already the third part of men. And certainly this ought to cause a sane man, someone with a right mind, it ought to bring them to the point where they say, oh, I've had enough of sin, and to bring them to God and say, oh, God, I don't know if I'm saved or not. I've been a man of the world, but I did hear of the message of Judgment Day going over all the earth, and so I just hope that perhaps you might have saved me before you shut the door of heaven. It ought to cause men to fear and respond that way. But there is no repentance. Notice it says in verse 21, God adds emphasis to this fact. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. They did not repent of murder, of sorcery, of fornication. They did not repent of theft. And four terrible sins, to illustrate the universal fact that none of the wicked, none of the unsaved people of the earth, none of the rest of the men, which number somewhere around 5 billion, repented. Not in the north or the south or the east or the west. None repent. And why not? Well, we can understand why not. Because repentance, true repentance, repentance from the heart, is a part of salvation. Repentance is a gift of God. He grants repentance to those that he saves. And once he has saved them and given them a new heart, they turn from their sin. First of all, from the gushing of sin that had been coming forth from their heart. They repent of all that sin because it's no longer coming forth. And then there's a ongoing progression of repenting from the sin in their lives as they live out their life. But now the rest of the men do not repent. There's no repentance. Not one individual is repenting. Remember, when one sinner repenteth, there's joy in heaven. But here we do not even find one sinner of the rest of the men that is said to repent, but rather they continue on in sin because there is no more salvation and therefore no more genuine, true, biblical repentance.
Thanks for joining us for eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies. You can hear these studies Monday through Friday over Paltalk, Skype, eBible Fellowship's webcast audio, or over your phone. For more information or to hear other studies, visit www.ebiblefellowship.com. Until our next study, may the Lord's perfect will be done.